Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at Arizona, and specifically its really complex and often contentious legislative landscape around atmospheric intervention.
It's a fascinating case. You sent over a stack of legislative text, public records, official reports.
Yeah.
And our mission today is really to analyze these proposals, both the ones that are active and the ones that have expired.
And Arizona is just this perfect storm, isn't it? It's caught between a desperate need for more water and this huge surge of public and legislative action trying to ban any kind of atmospheric modification.
Exactly. I mean, you have cloud seeding programs that go back decades. They're established. They're operational.
Right.
And at the same time, the legislature is trying to pass some of the most, let's say, aggressive bans in the entire country.
It just creates this enormous tension. How can you even draft a ban on manipulating the atmosphere when your biggest water providers are?
Well, they're doing exactly that.
They are, legally and right now. The very definition of what geoengineering even is becomes the main political fight. Okay, so just to frame this for everyone, we're assessing the practical status of all this as of today, December 12, 2025.
And we're using only the documents you provided, the legislative history, the bill texts, and some EPA context on what is or isn't actually happening up there at a large scale.
It's a real study in legislative reaction versus, you know, scientific reality.
It is.
Okay, so let's start with what's happening right now. There's one active bill in the hopper, pre-filed for the 2026 session.
That's right.
What lessons did they learn from the mess of the last session that shapes this new approach?
The new bill is House Bill 2042. The title is Solar Radiation Management Prohibition Enforcement.
Okay.
It was pre-filed just yesterday, December 11th. And its structure really suggests the authors learn that trying to ban everything is politically just not going to fly.
So how targeted is it then?
It's laser focused. It applies only to solar radiation management, or SRM.
Only SRM.
Yes. The bill prohibits intentionally injecting, releasing, or dispensing any material for SRM purposes. So it's targeting the kind of thing the EPA confirms isn't being deployed at a large scale in the U.S. right now anyway.
And to ground this, how does the bill itself define SRM? To separate it from, say, existing weather modification.
The definition is key. It defines SRM specifically as modifying atmospheric reflectivity to change how much sunlight hits the Earth.
So, like, making the atmosphere into a mirror?
Sort of. Think of it as putting reflective particles way up high in the stratosphere to cool the whole planet. It's a global scale idea.
Which is completely different from cloud seeding.
Completely different. Cloud seeding is local, it's low altitude in the troposphere, and it's designed to make it rain or snow for water.
Now, it looks like this bill also tries to cut off any research funding for these SRM technologies in the state.
It does, yeah. It prohibits any political subdivision, so think public universities or any private group getting public money, from giving out grants to develop SRM.
So no Arizona taxpayer dollars for tech that the state wants to ban.
That's the idea.
So if this were to become law, how would it even be enforced? What are the penalties?
Enforcement is designed to be citizen initiated, which is interesting.
So I could file a complaint?
You could. You'd submit it to the attorney general, list the date, location, what you think the substance was, and any evidence you have. The AG then has to investigate all credible complaints.
Not the penalties.
It's strictly civil.
Civil. That seems lighter, especially compared to what we're about to talk about from last year. Why do you think they went with civil instead of criminal?
Well, by avoiding felony charges, it keeps the focus on just stopping the activity. If the Superior Court finds a violation, it issues an injunction.
A stop order.
A stop order, exactly. And they award reasonable attorney fees to whoever wins. It's about cessation, not a prison sentence.
And the most crucial difference here is what it doesn't talk about.
Absolutely. HB 2042 makes no mention of traditional cloud seeding. By targeting only that specific idea of atmospheric reflectivity, or SRM, it very intentionally steers clear of Arizona's powerful water agencies.
Which sets the stage perfectly for what happened in the 2025 session. That was where the real political fireworks happened, with two huge but ultimately expired bills.
Oh, yes. Both bills died when the session ended. The term is sine die on June 27, 2025. And that session really showcased this clash between two totally different approaches.
What were they?
What I call the broadsword approach versus the surgical strike approach.
Okay, let's start with the broadsword. That would be House Bill 2056, the one that tried to ban pretty much everything.
That was the maximalist effort, yes. And it had some momentum, you know. It passed the House Regulatory Oversight Committee, though on a tight 3-2 vote.
And its scope was just...
Immense.
Immense. It defined geoengineering to include weather modification, aerosol injection, cloud seeding, and solar radiation management. It just lumped it all together.
And including cloud seeding, that was its political Achilles heel, wasn't it?
It was. The bill actually proposed repealing the existing state law, Title 45, Chapter 9, that licenses and regulates weather modification right now. So it would have made existing legal operations illegal overnight.
And it prohibited everyone from doing it. State agencies, universities, research projects, even the military.
And the penalties, I remember, were severe.
Severe is a good word for it. Violations were a class 4 felony. In Arizona, that can mean prison time.
Wow.
Plus, a mandatory civil penalty of at least $500,000 per violation. And each day counted as a new violation.
So a water agency could be on the hook for millions in days.
The liability would be staggering, so you can see why that bill stalled.
Okay, so that's the broadsword. On the other side, the Senate took a much narrower path with Senate Bill 1432.
Right, SB 1432 was the surgical strike. And what's fascinating, if you look at the legislative history, is that this bill actually passed the Senate.
It passed.
It did, on a pretty strong 16-11 vote. It even got through a House committee before it died, a signed die without a final vote. It got very, very close to becoming law.
What was the secret to its success where the other one failed?
It was simple. SB 1432 limited the ban only to solar radiation management. And crucially, it included an explicit carve-out. It said existing weather modification under Title 45 could continue business as usual. It separated the global theoretical thing from the local operational necessity.
The lesson seems pretty obvious then. The moment you try to ban cloud seeding, the bill is dead on arrival.
That's right.
But if you narrow it to just SRM, which the EPA says isn't even happening at scale, it actually moves forward.
That is the clear political dynamic at work in that 2025 session. The broad ban hit a wall of opposition. The narrow ban advanced. And in the end, they both just ran out of time.
This is where it gets really compelling, I think, especially for anyone interested in how public sentiment can literally get written into law. Let's look at those clauses in that dead bill, HB 2056, that seemed tailored to address claims not really recognized in the EPA documents we have.
Yes, unlike the clean, future-focused language of the other bills, HB 2056 had these very distinct provisions. They were targeting alleged ongoing activity. It put the state on a kind of war footing against things that, according to the sources, aren't actually happening.
Let's start with the public reporting mandate. It required the director of the Department of Environmental Quality to actively encourage the public using newspapers, of all things, to monitor and report any geoengineering.
And that reporting was tied to an immediate mandatory emergency response.
Right.
The director had to initiate emergency measures within just 2 hours of getting a credible report.
2 hours? I mean, just think about the administrative nightmare of that.
A total nightmare. And the scope of what they had to investigate wasn't just, you know, strange clouds or aerosols.
What else was there?
The bill also required the director to investigate credible reports of excessive electromagnetic radiation or fields caused by human activity.
Electromagnetic fields. So we have a proposed law, one that passed a committee, creating an emergency response for things like widespread EM fields or chaff release.
Things that the official EPA documents describe as either not operational or as part of theories that, you know, mistake controls for something else.
Right.
That clause about electromagnetic fields is a powerful example of legislative language being pulled directly from specific citizen concerns about alleged atmospheric pollution. It just went way beyond what established science says is currently happening.
So this brings up the core question for me. Why does Arizona keep generating these bills, especially the really comprehensive ones, when water is so critical there?
That tension is immense, and it's because Arizona is so deeply invested in getting every last drop of water it can, and that requires active weather modification. There are two big examples that stood in direct opposition to that maximalist ban.
First is the Salt River Project, right?
The Salt River Project, SRP. They actively use cloud seeding in the Salt River Basin. This isn't new. It's a practice that goes back to the 1940s.
So it's a core part of their strategy.
A core part. So when HB 2056 came along, SRP officially registered their opposition. The bill threatened to criminalize their basic operations.
And the second one is the Central Arizona Project, CAP. They're also involved, even if it's outside the state.
That's right. CAP actually funds cloud seeding generators in the upstream states of the Colorado River Basin, so Utah, Colorado, Wyoming.
Why there?
They're investing in building up the snowpack upriver. More snowpack there means more water flows into the Colorado River system, which is an absolute lifeline for Arizona.
So a broad ban on weather modification is a direct threat to water security for the most powerful players in the state.
Exactly. The conflict is purely about political vulnerability. HB 2056 went to war with the water interests and lost. SB 1432 and the new HB 2042 learned from that. They avoid the fight by either allowing or just ignoring cloud seeding.
And at the same time, the public reaction to these bills shows just how intense this debate is.
It really does. When the narrower bill, SB 1432, passed the Senate, the online reactions showed this widespread belief that the state had just banned chemtrails or banned geoengineering.
People thought the skies were about to clear up.
A lot of people did. They were celebrating a ban based on their own much broader interpretation of the issue, not the bill's actual very narrow SRM-only language.
It says so much about the challenge lawmakers are facing here.
It does. They're trying to regulate a complex scientific issue while also responding to this really intense wave of public advocacy. It shows this powerful demand for legislative acknowledgement of those concerns, even if the enforcement mechanisms in a bill like HB 2056 were based on premises not supported by the EPA's view of current activity.
So let's bring it all together. What is the practical position today, December 12, 2025, after all this activity two failed bills, one new one? Where does Arizona actually stand?
Based strictly on the sources we've reviewed, the state's legal position on a geoengineering or SRM ban is dormant. No such ban is currently operational law.
And cloud seeding is still protected.
Correct. Traditional weather modification for water augmentation is active, it's legal, and it's regulated under the existing state licensing system, Title 45, Chapter 9. That's the status quo.
And just to be crystal clear, since the proposed bans either failed or were just introduced, there is no evidence of any implementation or enforcement.
We have to be clear on that. Any enforcement actions for these bills would be entirely unsupported by documented large-scale activity. The EPA consistently states that large-scale solar radiation management deployment has not occurred in the U.S.
So if we connect this back to the big picture, Arizona's whole legislative journey just perfectly demonstrates how hard it is to separate that established, local, water-focused work from these emerging global climate ideas.
The state legislature is clearly struggling. They're trying to draft language that can navigate between the political need to acknowledge public concern and the practical reality of keeping these vital water operations running.
The bills that touched cloud seeding were, as you said, politically toxic.
And the ones that advanced were the very narrow ones.
So you have a state that is completely dependent on augmenting its water supply. And it's being forced to confront the difference between a century-old practice and a theoretical climate solution, all while balancing this incredibly intense public advocacy.
Which leaves us with a really important question for you, the listener. Arizona keeps trying to criminalize a hypothetical future technology, but why does the legislature only seem to succeed when the law carefully, deliberately avoids touching the existing operational weather modification being run by its own water agencies?
It's a tightrope walk, isn't it? Between the immediate reality of drought and the future risk of atmospheric intervention. Arizona is legislating against the future, but only if that legislation doesn't get in the way of its present need for water. And that's something for you to mull over as you consider the intersection of water scarcity, science, and legislative action in the desert Southwest.